The Sportscast, August 18th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, you can listen to us on Amazon, on the Amazon Smart Speaker. So definitely check us out there. And go to our website, thesportscast.net. thesportscast.net, and of course download our app The Sportscast for iOS. This past week the NBA news still keeps flying on. Marcus Smart extends his contract with the Celtics, and Joel Embiid, the man of Philly, extended as well. And join us all the way from Naperville, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, Jordan Vargas. Welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thank you, man. Happy to be here.
Jordan, we got so much to catch up. I mean, we were supposed to talk about the NBA championship and how the Milwaukee Bucks have won it. Give us a quick, what were your thoughts over the Bucks winning over Phoenix? Because I think you were going for Phoenix, weren't you?
I was going for Phoenix. But Milwaukee was a good team. I think Chris Middleton really stuck out to me. I've always kind of had a epiphany against Chris Middleton. I just thought he was a little bit overrated, and he kind of rode Giannis's coattail. But coming to see in the finals and how he played, he reminded me so much of a Pippen to Jordan, and that's what I really admired. So Chris Middleton, you know, obviously was a great addition. Bobby Portis from Chicago, he played phenomenal. Holiday played great. All the players on the Milwaukee Bucks connected. And Phoenix, they are a championship team still. They had just as much as an opportunity to win the championship as the Milwaukee Bucks. So, I'm not really too disappointed on it. But I would like to see Phoenix win, but I'm happy to see the Greek Freak, bring home a ring, especially for Milwaukee.
Yeah, not the favorites. What do you think happened to the Suns? Was it something they just choked, or Milwaukee just tweaked their defense and was able to do this?
I think Milwaukee has always had the gears to change it, change the pace of the game. And I think that's just is what happened for Milwaukee, is that they just were able to, obviously they did some film study and they figured out what they're doing wrong. And when they were able to get that down, especially with the talent that they had, they were able to kind of figure out Phoenix's algorithm and how they play. And I think that was enough to keep the Phoenix Suns down, and for the Milwaukee Bucks to win. But I wouldn't say the Phoenix Suns choked it, because again, if you look at it, both teams had equal opportunity to win the championship. So they're both championship teams. It's just kind of one, whatever one came out with the ring. But Phoenix is still a very qualifying team. But yeah, no, Milwaukee did a great job though.
Do you think the Suns team, the Suns team can come back next season? I know that, we could see a Laker team come. I mean, being healthy, I guess you can say, and the Clippers do you think and also the Warriors? Do you think the Suns will have it rougher next season?
No, because they've had experience. They know what losing's like, and they obviously don't like it. So I think that's very important to keep in mind, is that they already have experience, and they already have knowledge of what it's like to be on that stage. They haven't been on that stage in ages, since Charles Barkley days, Jeff Hornacek days.
1993.
For them to be back on that stage, I think is very important, very refreshing to them, and they'll be able to get it down. It's just hard to say. But I would say that they have experience, and that's what they can gain from. And we saw that with Cleveland. The Cavs, the times they – I think it was 4 years in a row that they went against the Warriors. The Warriors won 3. They won – Cavs won 1. But they were able to take from each experience from each of those years and series and accumulated them into having the biggest comeback in NBA history. So the Phoenix Suns will very much so, I think, have that kind of – anecdote and have that situation where they very well could come back this year and just win it all.
Yeah, with Jordan, just saying the experience, of course, you know, when the Suns went through this playoffs, a lot of the best teams, you can say, were out. They were injured, and they were not there. And Phoenix had to go through the Lakers, which was a little bit of a close series, went to six games. And then they swept Denver, which was pretty surprising for me, because Denver typically likes to hang in there a little bit closer. And then they swept Utah. So Utah was also a good team, but wasn't all there, wasn't healthy, actually. And like what Jordan was saying, experience matters a lot. Going through that, they have that confidence. And their young team, minus Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a little bit older. But the Suns were able to do it without Chris Paul for some of the games.
Yeah, they were.
So definitely looking forward to it. Speaking about the Lakers, they just got Russell Westbrook, and they got Melo, and they got Dwight Howard. Not everyone's pretty excited. I think average age is early 30s, but what are your thoughts over that, over those pickups, Jordan?
I think Russell Westbrook, I think he deserves to be in L.A. He kind of had a hard time, I think, in Houston. I don't think he had the best time in Houston. In Washington, his playing style, I think, was – and he still showcased his skill. But I think definitely now that he's in L.A., he can work with LeBron, and it's going to be a great show. So I think it's good for Russell to be in L.A.
Yeah,
and LeBron and Russell have had such they have built such a relationship throughout all these years that it's great for Russell to be able to be, you know, playing alongside his best friend who has proven time and time again to bring home championships.
Yeah, and Russell Westbrook is from the LA area, played at UCLA.
Yep.
And you know, LA is his home. Of course, he could be more fashionable in Los Angeles, you can say. But the project in Washington didn't do well with Bradley Beal and Scott Brooks. I thought it might last for another season or two.
Yeah, I think Scott Brooks is coaching. I've always kind of had mixed feelings about Washington. I'm going to say Bradley Beal has rose to be a star. I think for the longest time he was kind of stuck behind John Wall. He was kind of a Pippen to, you know, John Wall, which is Jordan. John Wall left. So now it's just the Beal show.
Yeah, and Beal's a fantastic player.
Yeah, and he's a great player. So I think that's where, you know, and he kind of stays. And I think when you stick too many superstars, especially with Andrew, with Beal, it just doesn't mix well. So, again, I just think kind of it's a different structure of team. It's kind of way the front office and the GMs and the scouts kind of have to build around it. But, it's just kind of the way I think it went. NBA teams have had flukes before, a little super team, and then, you know, it goes downhill pretty fast. So I think they'll just have to change it out, but it will be okay.
Do you think the super team thing will kind of fade out and say, look, which you were just saying, like, it falls pretty, you know, pretty fast when things don't, you know, go well?
I think the super team, I would like to say that it's gonna stop. But as the draft, as the years go on, the people that they draft, they get more athletic, they get taller, they get bigger, they get stronger, they get faster, and they get more notoriety. I think that's just gonna add to it, and I think it's gonna be less of super teaming and more of each team will have a very solid draft pick and a very solid player. And, you know, superstars, the lasting superstars and the upcoming are just going to kind of pick off that and feed off it. So I think super teaming is very, very much a real thing. I think not only for vets, but even for rookies.
What I like is I've always liked this, this format for a basketball team is having two superstars and then surrounded with good role players.
Yep, there you go.
Rather than three or four, because I always look at the Jordan and Pippen model, which Pippen's been brought up three times already.
Yeah.
and just surrounded with good role players. You know, had that Rodman for the defense, had that Luke Longley, not the greatest, you know, big man, but enough is to tip it over to win a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, one good example I think of adding two rookies to an NBA team, kind of super team, is the Houston Rockets, Josh Christopher and Jalen Green. A little background on them, if you want me to talk about it.
Please, go ahead.
Is they played on the same AAU team, and they played for Vegas Elite, which is under the Nike EYBL, and the Nike EYBL is a prestigious group of teams with the best players in the world are playing amateur basketball. And Josh Christopher and Jalen Green played on the number one travel team in the nation. And they were the stars of it. And Josh Christopher joined his brother Arizona State. Jalen Green went to the G League Ignite. And they've been reunited at the Houston Rockets. Now, they've had experience winning at very high levels, probably the highest level besides the NBA, because I think NCAA college basketball is kind of fit. I'm not going to say it's fizzling out, but, you know, there's other ways around it, especially now with players being able to, you know, reach endorsements and get paid. That would be one case of rookies super teaming and coming together. So definitely watch out for Josh Christopher and Jalen Green on the Houston Rockets.
Are you saying that there's something brewing in Houston?
I think there is. I think there for sure is, because I think to acquire both of those guys and the players that they're going to sign from Summer League, you know, the two ways and, you know, we've talked about this before, and, you know, the G League players, I think the Houston Rockets have a very, very strong shot of kind of super teaming, and they've had experience with that, getting those good teams together when you put Westbrook and Harden on the same team. So kind of that as super teaming. So they've had experience with that, and I think they're just going to play their cards just fine. They've had their learning lesson. They know it works. They know it doesn't. But I think pairing up two rookies who are unstoppable in previous times, and they're not going to be a bust at all, but pairing up two of them is going to be good. So I would say Houston is up to something.
Houston is definitely always in the news. You know, they've always trying to develop, you know, some new teams every 2-3 years, starting with Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady, and then now with Harden, now this new breed of players. So we'll see what happens. The biggest news this past offseason that Jordan and I haven't talked about is Lonzo Ball joining Chicago, being traded from the Pelicans. I thought he was going to the Lakers, but Jordan knew this way before. This is a big thing. What do you think about that? And tell us your thoughts and observations.
I have a grin ear to ear right now, just thinking about it. The fact that we got Lonzo Ball to Chicago is perfect situation. Listen here, and anybody who's listening, you put Lonzo Ball, think about this. He played at UCLA. He was a star at UCLA, got drafted by LA, big city lights. He struggled, but he shined. He was always in everyone's mouth. He was always in every conversation. Then you put him in New Orleans when the Pelicans are focusing on, Mike D'Antoni is focusing on developing Zion. And then you have a star like Ingram. Lonzo is kind of tucked away, I feel like. Now Lonzo is going to come to Chicago under the big city lights, and he already has good chemistry with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine played at UCLA. Him and Zach LaVine are good friends. And then you're going to pair him up with DeMar DeRozan, and then you're going to pair with Ayo Dosunmu. So there's going to be guards that Lonzo Ball would be able to help work with, and help develop. And he's going to get his shine. He's definitely going to get a shine in Chicago. And everyone on the team knows what he can do. The front office knows what he can do. So they're going to want – they didn't acquire Lonzo Ball for him to not play like Lonzo Ball. This is going to be exciting for Chicago.
Will the buck stop here for Lonzo Ball? Is this the team that he'll be remembered, that he'll be there for years to come? Jordan.
I don't know. I would like to hope so. I mean, he signed a 4-year contract, so I would like to hope so that this is going to be the team that he sticks with. But we'll just really have to pan out and see. But, you know, with the team that we – the Chicago Bulls have just acquired just now, not upcoming future draft picks, not upcoming trades, not upcoming two-way players, but the team that they have now, the Chicago Bulls are back in the conversation of this is going to be the biggest team in the Eastern Conference. You know, we're in the same conversation as Milwaukee, Brooklyn. You know, we're in that realm again. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, and what you mentioned before, and I call it the cherry on top, adding DeMar DeRozan, former Raptors, went to San Antonio, didn't do much in San Antonio. Is this the cherry on top that Chicago needs to tip it over?
Yeah, of course. DeMar DeRozan has had an absolute awesome career. When he went to San Antonio, his career, he had the same type of playing style. I think it's just where he was and the team that he had. But you think about it. Let's go back to his younger days. When he was in Toronto with the Toronto Raptors before they were the champions of 2019, DeMar DeRozan has worked with that team throughout his entire time in Toronto, has given so much, and he's proven that he's made Toronto, even though they weren't a championship team, they were always a team that was in everyone's mind, and you know, they were always thrown in the conversation. And I think with San Antonio, we still saw similar numbers to what DeRozan was putting up in Toronto. But now we're going to put him back on that bigger stage. And we're going to mix in some better players and some star players who have had, you know, kind of big-time experiences. So it's going to be good, I think, for I think it's just going to be good for DeMar. He's going to be a great fit for Chicago because he's going to be back to developing. And work in the team and help them, you know, build them to a championship.
Bring a veteran leadership, maybe a Chris Paul role.
Yeah.
Who will finish higher next season, Miami or Chicago?
Chicago. Come on. Chicago. That's ridiculous. Chicago.
You know that I had to ask you that question.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah. I would say Chicago, what I see right now. With LaVine and Ball and Rosen, and then of course they got Nikola Vucevic, and you know, Coach Billy Donovan. I mean, this is a perfect recipe. There's not too much age there, but it's perfect that they can rise. Now, I can't say Lonzo Ball is going to replace Michael Jordan or Derrick Rose. No, it just can't. But I know Ball will have an impact.
But Lonzo Ball will have a nice impact because he has a very unique style of play. That's going to separate him. So, you know, it would be Jordan, Derek, and then you're going to have Lonzo because all three of them had completely separate style of playing. And I think Lonzo Ball is going to find a great way to kind of fit that within his own legacy and help his team out.
Jordan, I have to ask you this question because in the sportscast, we have been we have been talking a lot about like Atlanta and the Hawks. Do you think this Hawks team is the real deal, or do you think they just went and were lucky this past playoff run?
The Hawks are the real deal. I would like to hope so. Trae Young, it's hard to say. I don't know. I think they had a very good growth spurt, I would say. As a team and as a franchise, they had a nice growth spurt, but whether they stop growing or they're going to continue, I don't know. We'll have to really see, especially how they play against these matchup teams. You know what I mean? How they play against these built-up teams.
Yeah, like a team like Philly. And
What do you think? You think Atlanta is going to go far?
Well, here's the thing with Atlanta. I have not seen too much offseason movement going on. Unless they're saying, okay, this is the team. We got it. They just need some experience, just like the Suns. But I kind of think they needed to add one more star in there or like a half a star or whatever. But I do like that kid, Trae Young, Jordan. This guy, I mean, we were talking about this like offline, and I'm like, I'm trying to compare him. Is he a Steph Curry? Is he a – I mean, what is he? He's like a
– I compare him to Curry, his confidence and his range, and how he can lead the team.
I agree.
Compare him to Curry.
And very confident. This guy was like – he was not afraid to go up against like the Sixers. This guy beat the Sixers by himself.
It's just – he just kind of rolled it off his shoulders. And we saw how he was in New York. and, you know, how hostile New York was to Trae Young, because this 6'1", 6'2" guard is absolutely destroying the entire New York Knicks team in the Garden. And he's just putting on a show. And
do you think?
It seems like he was very nonchalant.
Do you think this is a rivalry going on there between New York and Atlanta?
Oh yeah. Just kind of from what everything kind of happened, everything kind of went on. I don't know if you saw like, the footage, but you know, New York Knicks fans were. I think it's very much Indiana Chicago Bulls 1990. Was it 95, 96? You know, Reggie Miller days.
Spike Lee's still around.
Yeah. when it was very much Indiana versus Chicago, there were the rivalries of the Eastern Conference. I think it's going to be very much that type of matchup.
Yeah, I agree too. And of course, of course, our boy AC from Hawks TV says no, but we beg to differ. Back into the main topics of the show. We finally got to it towards the end, but it's okay. Marcus Smart agrees to a 4-year extension with the Boston Celtics. Jordan, is this a big deal? Is this what the Celtics need?
Yes. I think Marcus Smart's always kind of been a nice role player. He hasn't really been a star. He hasn't put up crazy numbers. I think we've all kind of seen that. But he's been able to facilitate and stay with the Celtics. Very loyal. And he's just kind of a great leader. And, you know, as the older he gets, because he's been there for a little bit now. He's been there for a while, actually. I think he got drafted in 2011. He got drafted around 2011. So he's been in the league for a while. He's been with the Celtics franchise. So he's going to be a good veteran and a role player for them.
Joel Embiid extends his contract with Philadelphia. That is not surprising. 96 million Supermax extension through 26-27. Philly likes Joel.
Yep, they do. They do. It's a really good fit, I think, for the 76ers. The franchise is keeping their star, I think it's good to be able to keep someone like Joel Embiid with his playing style. You know, he's kind of had ups and downs, but he's really fit in with the 76ers role. And I think he's been able to show his leadership as well. Helping Matisse Thybulle and Tobias, you know, kind of working with Tobias Harris, and just kind of everyone feeding off each other and kind of having that type of playing style, I think will be good for them. So it's going to be good for the Sixers.
And of course, Simmons is up for probably going to be traded. Where do you think he'll go? Or where do you think he should go?
He said he had it kind of cut out.
Couldn't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It just cut off for a second.
Oh, Ben Simmons did not have a good performance with the Sixers. Yeah. Where do you think he'll go, or where do you think he should go?
Sacramento. Going to go to the Sacramento Kings.
Wow.
He's going to go to the Sacramento Kings.
Doesn't seem like a place that he'll win a chip or two.
Because Ben Simmons, he's people like to make fun of him, but you look at his size, he's not an outside scorer. He used to be in high school. He was LSU. He was a decent outside scorer. Kind of a Markieff Fultz situation where, you know, you were a great scorer and then, you know, it kind of slowly went downhill. But Ben Simmons has so much to offer. Offers great defense. He's phenomenal to paint. And he's a phenomenal passer for his height. Wherever he's going to land, he's going to land somewhere comfortably. But in my opinion, I think he's going to come to Sacramento.
Interesting. LiAngelo Ball, Jordan Vargas, another Ball player, the third player in the NBA, was with the Hornets. What's going to happen now? Because I know he's a free agent, but what do you think is going to happen to him?
LiAngelo Ball, he had a phenomenal, I would say phenomenal summer league, because he proved a lot of people wrong. He showed that he could hang in with the team. he could hang in the NBA. His first game out, coming out, reminds you, he hasn't, no one's seen Leandro Ball physically play since his father's JBA league. And that's the last time the world has really seen Leandro Ball play. Sure, there have been clips surfacing around the internet of him in the, like, the Lakers facility and the Hornets facility. But, I mean, he came out right out of the gun, 16 points, 51% of shooting. Next game, 10 points. He's had very consistent points. And this is only from summer league. They really haven't had time, even their head coach, that was assistant coach, but got bumped to the head coach for the Hornets team. Even, you know, he said that they threw plays at players and it was very overwhelming. And I had to do a lot in little time. Imagine you get to work with him in a lot, with a lot more time. He's going to be a great addition. And him and LaMelo don't play very similar at all. You know, Jello's very much inside, you know, catch and shoot, kind of bigger body player. Doesn't, not too flashy with the handles, very solid on defense. So they're two separate players, and I think that's someone that Melo could really help. He could really help Melo, and especially when you have a star player like LaMelo, you want to keep him comfortable. You want to keep him in the organization. You want to keep him happy. You want to keep a smile on his face, because when that contract reaches up, you know, every team's going to be wanting to grab for LaMelo. So I think it's going to be good to have his brother LiAngelo. In my opinion, I see a two-way contract coming his way, possibly getting signed with the Hornets, I would say. Even Jason Tatum said that he belongs in the Hornets, and he's proved a lot of people wrong that he's still, you know, an athlete. He's still a professional athlete. He still has had great experience, and he just, you know, needs his shot, and his shot with summer league. Fortunately, the Hornets lost, went 0-5, but they're still growing.
Can you tell us like the path of LiAngelo? Because I know he went from high school, but then turned pro, but went to, you know, to smaller teams. But tell us his brief history.
LiAngelo Ball was the leading scorer, averaged 28 points on the number one team in the nation, which was Chino Hills, when he played alongside his older brother Lonzo and younger brother LaMelo. He was the highest scorer on the team. He was the ninth highest scorer in he was the ninth best shooting guard in California. And he's had, you know, ranking-wise, he's been kind of, I think, put on the lower end just because he's been overlooked. But he went from Chino Hills, committed to UCLA, played one game at UCLA, of course, ran into trouble in China, left UCLA. He joined his little brother LaMelo in BC Piana for the Lithuania Vytautas League. From there, he came home, declared for the draft, and then, you know, went to workouts with the LA Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. Went undrafted, joined his father's league, the JBA, then got picked up by the OKC Blue, which is their affiliate for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Got picked up by OKC Blue. Pandemic hit. He got nothing. He got waived by them. Then got picked up by the Detroit Pistons on an exhibition 10, which is sums up as a training camp deal, and, you know, preseason deal. Got waived from the Pistons, unfortunately. Signed a contract to enter his name into the G League draft. Unfortunately, he went undrafted, but he went undrafted with, you know, multiple NBA veteran stars. And then now he's ended up with the Charlotte Hornets in summer league. So he's had a crazy journey, not the highest of marked journey, but definitely a good storytelling one. And he's just going to be, I think, a great fit for the Hornets. And let me tell you something. At the first game of the Charlotte Hornets that LiAngelo Ball played against the Portland Trail Blazers, there were only two NBA scouts. There was the San Antonio Spurs and there was the Detroit Pistons scout in the stands. The next game the Hornets had that LiAngelo Ball played, there was all 32 scouts in the stadium. So that has to tell you, if he'll get picked up by the Hornets, I think another team's going to look at him and they're going to pick him up.
Definitely an option, of course. And anyone with the last name Ball, that's a good chance that you might help your team out or make an impact.
How do you feel as someone, like, you know, with the last name of Ball, like LeAngelo, from what you heard, what do you think he deserves the chance, or do you think it's just?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, unless, like I said, you know, the scouts have to know for sure they're playing well. But of course, hey, he has to be good. I mean, somewhat good, I guess, to make that 12-man roster. But we'll see what happens. I have not seen much of him, to be honest, Jordan. But I know the other Ball brothers have done good in the NBA so far, and if they're looking at it monetary wise, it could be a major incentive.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, that is our NBA recap. We went from the playoffs to free agency to LiAngelo Ball. Looking forward to it. Anything else before we head into the poll question of the day, Jordan?
Santiago, since you do live in Miami, how do you see the Miami Heat kind of playing out?
Well, we should be a lot healthier. Of course, Butler just signed a new contract with the Heat. Hopefully we'll see more from Tyler Hero. And I think, yeah, like I said, I think we're definitely going to be a playoff team, I would say. And, of course, Spoelstra, you can't beat him, man. He has probably the safest coaching position in the whole NBA, I would say.
Besides Thibodeau, New York.
Oh, you think Thibs pretty safe there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he helped acquire Kemba Walker. I think, of course, he's going to be safe.
Yeah, and of course,
when you get Derrick Rose to re-sign to New York, I think it's
saying a lot. Yeah, and also that he got Kyle Lowry, so that helps a lot. I mean, yes, I know Kyle's only 30. I mean, he's 35, so a little bit old, but he'll bring that veteran leadership and maybe the extra push to get deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, and of course, we got PJ Tucker. The guy owns so much sneakers, so he could, you know, lend us a pair or two.
Yeah.
So, looking good for the Heat. We'll see what happens. Are they better than Chicago? I can't say that. I think at best, even.
No, that's not even up for question.
Okay.
No.
Anyways.
He's been putting up good Summer League points, but that's not enough to beat Chicago.
Yeah. Summer League is definitely a good place to see these young rookies, see how they're going to develop. And Cade Cunningham, do you think he'll do well in Detroit?
Oh, of course. I think Cade Cunningham's going to do well in Detroit.
First,
he did well at OSU. He did well in high school at Montverde Academy. And he's been putting up good. I feel like I could definitely see him putting up great numbers in the NBA regular season.
Bring back those glory days from Detroit, from Chauncey Billups, and also the Bad Boys in the late 80s. So looking forward to see what this kid can do to the game of basketball in Detroit. Poll question of the day, Jordan. What is your favorite ice cream treat? Options are ice cream sandwich, Klondike bars, Magnum bars, or the Snickers ice cream bar.
I'm not really big into I'll probably say Snickers. I like the Snickers bar.
You're not into desserts? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm into desserts. I love desserts, but I like regular ice cream.
Okay, you don't like to mix it up like cold, like cold.
Yeah, those, but Snickers bar, I like that.
Okay. Have you ever been to Cold Stone?
Cold Stone, yeah. I've been to Cold Stone a couple times. There's one near me.
Yeah, they like to mix it up, everything, and they put, you know, Snicker bars or whatever candy bar you want. Anyways, ice cream sandwich, Magnum, and Snickers are tied for first at 28%. Klondike is at the bottom of the tail at 14%.
What do you say?
I like the Snickers. So,
yeah.
Great minds think
alike. That's a very safe answer.
Jordan, you had a recent podcast with Rodney Pryor. I listened to it. I thought it was very interesting with the G League and the whole pay situation. Tell us a little bit about that and how they can listen to it.
Well, first of all, Rodney Pryor is a G League veteran. He's a mentor. He's an author. He's an entrepreneur. He's a very much classified as more than an athlete, has been signed to multiple NBA teams and has gone to, you know, G League teams. But basically, there's multiple tiers within the NBA and the G League. There's about five tiers between the G League and the NBA, and you can listen to that and how that's broken down at CWJ Sports Talk Show. And you can also go to my website and get bonus clips at www.courtsidewj.com. And you can just listen to that full interview. You can watch it on my website, or you can listen to it on Spotify and Apple. But it's very fascinating, and it was one of my best interviews that I've had, and just kind of it was kind of amazing listening to it.
Yeah, very good interview. And what stood out was, yeah, I mean, if you're in the G League, and well, this was back in the day, you're making about, you know, 35K, and if you get cut, like, what do? Versus in the NBA, you make $1 million, you get cut, oh, you're okay for a year.
Yeah, he really broke it down perspective. In fact, you know, some G League players back in the day had average jobs where they'd work at fast food restaurants or, you know, retail stores, and then they'd wait for their agent to go. The Grand Rapids Drive, the Detroit Pistons just called, and we're going to pick you up, you know, until they get that call. But it's very much a real life situation. It's fascinating that these God gifted professional athletes, the best of the best,
yeah,
still get cut.
Yeah, and right now they get paid, what, a 100K minimum?
Yeah, it's a $130,000 minimum contract. I think the most a G League player can make is around $250,000, which is pretty fair since, again, the G League is the players constantly get filtered in and out. There's a lot of transactions going on, so I think it's very fair. But nowadays the G League, the affiliates are rising. It's good now, but
yeah,
you can listen to all of that and more on my website and listen to it on Spotify or Apple.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, some of these G players rise up, you know, and go to the NBA to just to fill up a roster spot or a playoff spot, because sometimes these teams, a lot of these players get injured, so they had to grab someone quickly from the G League.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a call someone up from the G League.
Yeah, like I think this guy, one of the players that played for the Warriors, I think it's Quinn. I think it's his name.
Quinn Cook.
Quinn Cook, great example. Played through the G League, now went through, with the Warriors. Got primetime television, right, Jordan? Finals.
Yeah, there we go.
And he's a keeper in the NBA ever since.
Yep.
So
and think about this. He played at the number one college in the nation, Duke. And he still went to the G League.
Unbelievable.
And then he got his time in the NBA. So it shows very much a perspective of how cutthroat and how competitive, not only overseas, but the G League, and their affiliates. So it's a great perspective.
Even if you get recruited to Duke, no one's safe, right, Jordan?
Oh, yeah, no one's safe.
Anyways, you can reach Jordan Vargas. He's on The Real JDV23 on Twitter. And what is your Instagram?
My Instagram is CourtsideWJ, CourtsideWJ. Yeah, you can just look at me there and you can contact me and ask me questions, and I'll be more than happy to answer them or help you out in any way I can. If you would like a feature on my show, just message me and we'll work something out.
Yeah, and Jordan covers a lot with the scouting and the recruiting, so he's definitely looking at that level from high school to college and possibly the NBA, so definitely look that out. Mm-hmm. It's a whole world out there, and a lot of players that don't go to G League, they go international. Like I think one of the Ball brothers went international for a bit as well, so it's a big basketball world. And the Olympics, we didn't even touch the Olympics. I mean, the world's caught up. USA kind of was – kind of dip at the beginning, came back. France is a good team. They beat France, and we're still gold medalists. So,
Anyways,
you can reach at the Sportscast, at the Sportscast 1 on Twitter or on the website, thesportscast.net. This Friday, we're having some NFL podcasts. Looking forward to that. But NBA is still going. It's still reeking through. And the season is going to start up in, I believe, in October. So, things are kind of normalizing the NBA with the schedule, so I'm glad that thing is being caught up. But anyways, Jordan Vargas, always a pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure of being on here. I love talking to you about the NBA and, you know, giving the listeners something to listen to.
Let's go, Bulls.